Hey guys, real quick before we start the show, I just wanted to pop in here with a quick correction from what we discussed at the beginning of this week's show. Brian and I are doing a donation campaign for Crew Nation, which goes to help support the music staff that run venues that are currently closed down due to everything that's going on in the world. We made a couple changes and corrections to what our plan was that we're going to be offering after we had recorded this week's show. So if you're interested in checking it out and helping anyway, head over to thesideshowpodcast.com, click on the Crew Nation donation link there, and all of the other details will be provided at that point. Great, thanks. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to episode 419 of the Sideshow Podcast. We are now into July here in the States. We just celebrated Independence Day. Social distancing, of course.
Well, did you do anything for that?
Yes, actually, we went to... So my sister for the past, I don't know, 5 or so years has been doing a big 4th of July party, and she... did it again this year, only there was fewer people and there's no bouncy house, and they had some social distance games, you know, like horseshoes and cornhole, and there's actually one that was really fun. There was two like PVC poles on either side with a water bottle on top, and you had a frisbee.
Yep.
And it's like, if you knock the bottle off and it hits the ground, that's 2 points, and if the frisbee lands behind the pole, that's another point, but the other team can try to catch both things. I played like 7 games of that. It was a lot of fun. It's very hot. Nice. But yeah, we did it with, you know, mass distancing. There were some fireworks and a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
Glad I got to get out and see some people. It was nice.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
What about you?
It was a little different this year. We always do that typical small town parade thing where we carry the massive flag, but that didn't happen this year. The parade was limited to only vehicles. So we watched it for the first time in my memory that we weren't in it.
Oh, wow.
And then, as has been the tradition for the at least the last 5 or 6 years, my brother and I spent the day wiring up a fireworks display on a dock to float out to the middle of the lake and light that off when it got dark. So we did that. We only really had immediate family over to distance on a dock and watch things, but that's it.
Nice.
Kind of a low-key, quiet sort of thing. Yeah, that's about it. Not much this year.
Yeah,
no cookout.
Yeah, everything at my sister's, it was mostly my family, slightly extended, but my family, some of her husband's family, and like 3 friends.
Yeah.
And we all behaved. Curious to see what the news will bring in the next week or next couple days as we find out nobody followed the rules. And
yeah, nothing good, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's been on a downward trajectory here in the States recently. To be honest, for international listeners, I haven't been keeping up with my news domestically or internationally because it's not good. Mm-hmm. I know that much. Yeah. At any rate... we do have some good news for you here on the Sideshow, and I'm going to let Nick share that with you.
Yeah, so we've decided, as all of our problems in this country proliferate, that the little bit that we can actually do to give back, which is a little bit, we'll start off with that, is picking a charity that supports the arts and music and do a contribution to that. So as we've said multiple times, the ways to support this show are just by clicking through on an Amazon affiliate link and doing your shopping as you typically would. It gives us a little bit of kickback. We sell some merch from time to time that needs to be updated. And generally those funds go towards, you know, maintaining the site, keeping the storage space we need for older episodes, et cetera, et cetera. And there's never really much above and beyond that that we have in the bank account. And that still is true now. But unlike previous years where, you know, maybe at the end of the year, Brian and I will each get a record out of our, you know, 500 hours of content that we've done. This year, we are going to be donating whatever is in our bank account to Crew Nation, which is created by Live Nation, which gives money to the workers of music venues, whether that's front of house or crew management or staff. Well, they can't be there as nothing is going on and there are no tours and there is no, you know, art scene, so to speak, right now. So we're going to be donating any little bit we have to that. And obviously, we encourage you to donate wherever you think your money is the most useful and would help the most. But as a kind of fun little perk, we thought it would be cool to try to offer you guys some incentives to do that and go through us to do it. Obviously, anything that you donate will be 100% passed on to that charity. We're not looking to make a penny off of anything, as we never really have. So right now we added a coffee link to the SideshowPodcast.com right up at the top of the page. There's a little coffee cup that says donate or something along those lines. And if you click on that, it'll take you to PayPal and you can throw us a few bucks. As a incentive to do it, we are doing something that we absolutely do not want to do. and have taken a fair amount of flack for not doing when it came out. We are committed to listening to and reviewing Tool's Fear Inoculum. And anybody that donates any amount of money, we will send an MP3 to our review of that album. We haven't recorded it yet, so there's going to be a little bit of a delay because we need to fit that into listening to it and doing it. But we will send a review of that to anybody that donates any amount of anything. Beyond that, we have a couple little different perks for different levels. Obviously, you can donate as much or as little as you want, or go through somewhere else, or donate to somebody else. Just anything you can to help kind of the art community right now. But if you want to play along, we're doing a couple different tiers. If you send $10, you can pick any 2020 metal album that we didn't cover this year, since our shows have, you know, been a little bit limited compared to years past, and we haven't gotten to nearly as many albums as we did, you know, earlier on. Anything that has come out this year that we've missed, we will hop on and do a review of. That's the $10 one, is you can pick any album that we didn't get to. If you want to throw us $15, you can pick any metal album from any time period. It can be, you know, as old as you want it to be, something that we clearly wouldn't have listened to or covered. If you want to kick $5 more into that and do 20, not only do you get to pick any album, you can expand that to of any genre. And also, if you want to, you can join us on the show for the review. If you don't want to be on, or if schedules don't work due to international listeners or whatnot, you can email us something that you want us to read about the album in context and your opinions on it. And beyond that, if you want to do $25, we will redo one of our segments that we do from time to time, the Let Me Try That One Again, where we go back to an album that we maybe didn't give a fair shake the first time around. And you can dictate what that album is. And again, if you want to join us for that or write in something for us to share on it, you can make us suffer with another album again. and we'll talk about it with you, and you can try to sway our opinion on it. So just a couple little added perks if you want to do it. All the money's going to go to charity. And it could be something fun and something engaging that goes to help out people in need right now. So that's that. We'll see if we get anything from it. Either way, we're going to donate whatever money we have in the bank account to that. And anything else you guys want to send in through the coffee account on our page will also go there. And if you do any of those tiers where you get to pick a band or an album or whatnot, you can either just put that in the notes when you PayPal it in, or just send us a separate email to mail@sideshowpodcast.com. And let us know what your picks are going to be, and we'll find a time to coordinate with you guys to record a segment with you for a show.
And I think we had also, just to clarify, anything we get through the Amazon affiliate link from now on until we don't know when, an indefinite amount of time, we will donate that as well. So pretty much anything coming in from any way, we will donate. I probably, the way it's collected, probably on a monthly basis, I think.
Yeah.
We'll throw over money to... what's it called? Crew Nation.
Yeah. I don't expect it's going to be a lot, but hopefully it's something. And every little bit does help. You know?
Exactly.
So it's literally what we can do. It's the least we can do, but realistically, it's also the most we can do.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll try it and we'll see. And, you know, hopefully some of you guys have a couple bucks to spend and we can do a fun little collaborative review project while we're at it. So...
I've also been donating I'm using air quotes, on the Bandcamp Fridays.
Yeah.
This past Friday, July 3rd, was, excuse me, the last scheduled one, but I don't know if they're going to keep that going. I hope they do. They were doing the first Friday of every month for May, June, and July. If they keep it going, I'll keep buying. Yeah, I get a crap ton of music, but I've also now donated a bunch of money to these bands. undisclosed amount of money to these bands. One of those is actually our first album review for this week. We had listened to it through streaming, but I actually went and purchased it. That is the latest album from Protest the Hero called Palimpsest.
Palimpsest.
Palimpsest. Palimpsest. There's a lot of consonants in there.
It's consonant and heavy.
Palimpsest. They self-released this album, much like their previous EP. Or I guess that was a full album. Whatever it was. A palimpsest is, for those who don't know, some nerds on this podcast already knew what this was.
Fuck you too.
A manuscript or piece of writing material on which the original writing has been effaced to make room for later writing, but which traces remain. It's more simply, something reused or altered, but still bearing visible traces of its earlier form. So I guess that's not in writing, but still used. And it's a nice vocab word, but also fitting to the lyrical themes of this album, which would be poignant any day, but I don't even think the band could have realized how poignant this would have been when they were writing this, because clearly they didn't start writing this 2 months ago.
Right. There's no way they could have known.
Yeah, they couldn't have predicted this. It's about America and its history and everything wrong with it. And it's very specific events that they are metaphorically, even if it's pretty heavy metaphor, but metaphorically speaking of and describing what was wrong and a lot of what happened and kind of the historical inaccuracies of it in some cases. And I guess speaking to the history we know, but also what it really is, therefore to the title of the album. Musically, I mean, we can get into some specifics of some of the songs in a bit, but musically, this is, I think, the best thing they've done since Fortress.
I'd agree with that.
It's the whole album, I feel, is on par with what I want from them. You get some big soaring choruses, like I'm listening to From the Sky right now. Like, the end of that is just huge, big, what would be sing-along live, but you get some really aggressive riffs and, you know, screaming vocals. You get a couple little kind of breakdown grooves in there, but everything is blended together so seamlessly, and the playing, despite lineup changes in the band, and actually, we can talk about the vocal issues they had faced, is just, like, top-notch. It's everything is so seamless and fluid, yet so technically mind-boggling if you actually sit and listen to each of the parts of the album. It's everything we've wanted from Protest the Hero, but I feel has kind of been, like, wavering back and forth the last couple of releases, and they're just back in full form.
Yep. I definitely agree with that. We liked Volition. And that album does still hold up. Scurrilous was not good. And Pacific Myth was, you know, had some high points, had some low points. It kind of just felt not right on point, as this band has definitely been changing their approach and their general soundscape over the years. And it's been kind of a trial and error sort of thing. You mentioned Roddy's vocal issues. He had kind of destroyed his vocal cords. Mm-hmm. And you can hear it to a degree, but this is the first album where it's really connected that, you know, it's less screamy. He's not ripping his lungs apart. He can still hit those soaring highs. His cleans are still, like, awesome and, like, really, really immaculately done. But it doesn't have a lot of the screamy early stuff that they were doing on Fortress and Kezia. And on previous albums, while that hasn't been there as much either, it's felt lacking without it. This is the first album where I don't miss it at all. You know, it's a little bit different of approach. It's focusing more on the melody and hooks than what they have previously done, and it fucking works for them because it's still a technical marvel to listen to. But also, the songs are earworms, which I don't think I can say about anything they've done previous to this. Like, there are moments on all of their other albums that stand out to me. I walk around doing the doot 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 from fucking Blood Meat all the time still. But, like, there are only a few and far between moments of that. And, like, every big chorus on this just hits.
Yeah.
And it really, really works. This is the happiest with a Protest the Hero album I've been since Fortress, for sure. I do miss the original bass player still. Like, the playing on this is fantastic, but there was, like, he just brought something special to it. I mean, he was one of the founding members and primary writers as well.
Right.
So, you know, it is a little different, but he hasn't been with them for a little while now. So I guess, you know, whatever. It's just really good. You know, the lyrics are on point. We don't really need to analyze and break those down too much. They're relatively straightforward, while still not feeling like they're beating you over the head too much.
Yeah.
A couple songs feel a little bit preachy here and there. They're going to. But it comes across more like a stern lecture from your better Canadians than it does, you know, something Rob Flynn would try to do. Well, it's not quite as blunt as that usually.
Well, and that's just it. Like, in reading the lyrics, you can probably figure out the situation they're talking about and definitely get the meaning out of it. But it's not, like you said it, with Rob Flynn's bluntness of it. And that's a good balance. You don't want it to be too metaphorical and everything out there where you don't understand what's happening. Be like, oh, that's a cool line, but I don't know what it means. And you don't want to be yelled at by your angry political leaning uncle.
So. Right. And this band has always done better when there is a theme to tie their releases around. And maybe there has been on some that we missed, but like Scurrilous, just every song felt like it was its own separate thing and didn't have a big through line to it. And they just didn't connect as well. And here it's like, oh, this is a story to tell.
Yep.
And this band works best when there's something bigger at play. And this album is that perfectly. This is totally a five for me.
Oh, same here. And I think they figured that out, because I think Scurrilous, someone will correct me if I'm wrong, I think that is the only one that didn't have some type of overarching theme, even if it wasn't telling a singular story. And that was a big criticism we had of it, because lyrically it was supposed to be more personal and stuff and just didn't work.
Right.
And they seem to figure that out. But yeah, this is a phenomenal release from Protest the Hero. Palimpsest. Palimpsest. Why can't I say it? I don't
it's
do
a weird word, dude. If I hadn't listened to a D&D podcast say it a billion times, I'd probably be stumbling with it too. But
and
like
I,
you said, I'm a
fucking probably
nerd.
This entire 2 weeks, I've probably read it in my head the wrong way. So when I'm trying to say it, Palimpsest, the latest album by Protest the Hero, 2 fives from us. Check out the song The Fireside.
dream, no sign of the sleeping, and all we needed was a reason. 10 years of a white flag waving in the wind. Ghost town, ghost country, no sign of the sleeping, and all we needed was a reason. 10 years of a white flag waving in the wind. Ghost town, ghost country, no sign of the sleeping.
All right, that was The Fireside from Protest the Hero's latest palimpsest, put out again by themselves, as they seem to be doing lately, and a really, really well-done production and release, and high bitrate when you buy it, so good on them. All right, next up for you, we have another returning champion to the show here with the band Vampire and their album Rex. It's out on Century Media. It's been a while since we talked about these guys. We missed their first album back in 2012.
14.
We caught on... 2014, sorry, their first, they found it in 2012, my bad. We covered their second album with Primeval Force, which came out in May of 2017, all the way back in episode 292. Not a lot has changed, and that's both a blessing and a curse. This band does the throwback thing very well. It has a more modern production, black and roll sort of vibe. Really, if you listen to our previous review of them, I'm going to be saying literally the exact same things about this album. And that is, I love it when listening to it. I forget it when it's over. There are moments that I find myself like bouncing along to and really enjoying. And for a genre that I typically don't fuck with that much, like, you know, anytime I find one that I'm like, hey, I like this, then that's a good thing. But as I kind of noticed throughout the week, and definitely noticed when we were picking a song, there are moments that I really enjoy on a lot of it, but they all kind of blend together. The album is consistent to a fault, kind of. You know, in a very kind of centered, mid-heavy production with not a ton of definition, is a good production, but it's not, like, super engaging. And it kind of all has this sort of washing tonality to it, that when you're listening to it as one big album, it's not very long. You know, it's a 40-minute album. It has a good flow to it. But when you're trying to pick out a song that, like, this highlights what they're great at and shows it off really well, I had a hard time picking a moment, like, picking a song that was like, oh, this is what I want to share with you guys.
Right.
So it's good. It's solid. It's fun. But it's not, like, a big step forward. They didn't put out something yet to me that is, like, this is something I'm going to go back to a whole lot. This is really engaging and enjoyable. It was a fun listen for the 2 weeks we covered it, but with all the amount of other stuff that we have and get into, I don't know how frequently I'll be going back to it.
Yeah. Pretty much. I feel like this is, you know, obviously, as noted in many a place, this is for fans of, like, Tribulation or Destroyer 666, which I think we covered one album of and if I remember didn't care for, and things of that ilk. To make other comparisons, a lot of it reminds me of, like, the Bullet Belt thrash of Toxic Holocaust, but obviously if they listen to a lot more black metal, and there's some definite Slayer moments in here, particularly with the high-pitched scream that comes down that Araya would do. And much like Slayer, it bleeds together. Now, there are some really fun riffs in here, like in the track we're going to play for you in Spiritus, you get a nice, fun, bouncy riff to that, and it makes it one of the more memorable tracks, but not every track has that. And again, I could say the same about Toxic Holocaust. There's some songs they have I can still remember now, but a lot of it is just the idea and sound of Toxic Holocaust, and I feel like that's the same thing with Vampire. The riffs are really good. There's, for the genre, I think they do it well, but I think there's still something great still to come, at least from where we stand, which, as Nick was saying, this isn't what we listen to first and foremost.
Right.
But I think there could be something coming from this band that will be, because the talent is there and it shines through on some certain tracks. But overall, it's good. It's a good album. Yeah. And the production doesn't help. Like, it's good for what it is and definitely mid-centric. Like, the guitars stand out. But also, I feel like they could... Everything could be a little thicker and there could be a little more dynamic in there, which would even help with the overall washing sound of the album.
Yeah, it's like where I struggle with a band like this is it's not that far off from something along the lines of a Wormwitch or something similar. Like, you can hear similarities between it, but it doesn't engage me the way that does. You know, and there are different bands.
Sure.
But like, there's, it has that throwback sort of vibe, a similar production, a similar attitude and approach, but like the fun level just isn't quite there. That gives me like that desire to go dig back into it again and again.
Right.
So like, and it may not be the direction that they are ever going to go or want to go, frankly. So, you know, that it's not really a fair comparison, but when I am in the mindset to listen to something, you know, kind of black and roll throwback thrash sound.
Yeah.
I'm like very limited on how often that is. And when I do, it needs to be like, you know, the pinnacle of that for me to go back to it. And this isn't quite there for me. It's solid.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into the throwback sound, these guys are crushing it, especially for a young band. This is great. It's just not generally where I tend to go for. So it's a 3 for me. It's a very solid release.
Same.
Cool. Okay, 2 threes. We're going to play the song Inspiritus from the band Vampire off their album Rex out on Century Media. Check it out.
All right, so that was Inspiritus by Vampire. It's off their album Rex, out now on Century Media. Next, we're going to go back to our black label for this period. it's not the week. Which is Inside Out Records. As stated last time, they were founded back in 97, originally based in Kiev, Germany. They had partnered with Century Media back in 2009 and moved the offices around a little bit. But then Century Media was acquired by Sony, and now Sony uses Inside Out as its premier label for progressive music. And like we said, you know, they look at progressive music as the main genre, as opposed to the additive to other styles of music. So you get quite a wide array of progressive music on there, from some things that are more pop-oriented to Devin Townsend to classic prog rock to Kansas, who I would never have thought of as progressive anyway, but they're on there. To what did we play last week? Leprous. Yes. So some things definitely more stable in the genre, and it really runs the gamut. And if you're in, obviously, if you're into progressive music, you're probably pretty familiar with the label to start with. But if you're just starting to dabble in it, or maybe branching outside of metal in your progressive leanings, this is where you should go be looking. And with that, I found, so this band has been around a while. It's a band called Long Distance Calling. They just released an album called How Do We Want to Live? It's actually their seventh album overall, third for the label. Their first one came out 13 years ago, back in 2007. And it's, I think there's only one song that has lyrics on, that has vocals on here. So I'm going to call them Instrumental Progressive Band. And to steal a quote from Metal Sucks, they say they don't just pay homage to vinyl era bands. At times they echo the rhythmic intensity of Zombie or the post-rock interplay of Slint. And I think it's their Zombie comparison that really draws me into it. Though it's not retro synth stuff, it definitely has that vibe, and it's a little more chill than that, but there are real guitars in there and, you know, drums and stuff. It's not actually a real band playing it, but it has definitely that vibe, and it's a bit chill and atmospheric and really easy to get into, and it's sci-fi leaning as well. There is some beyond the cover artwork, there's some like voiceovers and samples and stuff in there that tell a sci-fi story of artificial intelligence taking over. And there's also a very intense and strange music video for one of the songs in there called Voices, which I recommend watching because it's different.
Okay.
But yeah, I found this really enjoyable, and like I said, it was listed on Metal Sucks. It's not the most metallic thing, but again, this is something that helps cross the line as far as the label goes into stuff we listen to and stuff we may not necessarily dabble in normally. So, with that, check out this sample of Long Distance Calling with the song Immunity. Thank you.
All right, that was long distance calling off of our Black Label segment in, featuring Inside Out this month-ish. We'll have a new one for you next time. I haven't figured out who that's going to be yet. We'll dip into that when we're done recording. Last one for you. Speaking of Bandcamp segments, back when we were doing Bands Across America, our Massachusetts pick was the Boston-based band Let Us Pray. That was a year and a half ago we covered that? It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Look that up quickly.
I was trying to think of what that was.
Yeah, their EP was Saint of Killers, which came out... We reviewed it February 6th? Nope. We reviewed it February 11th, back in 2018. Okay, so yeah, it's been a while. This has been stewing for a bit. So this is self-described by them as power prog thrash metal.
Yeah.
Which is fucking accurate. Like that that's kind of the band in a nutshell. It's got the Into Eternity vibes and whatnot of, you know, in the vocal range with the power metal. It has a fair amount of, damn it, I'm gonna get the wrong band again. I said Orbit Culture before and that was wrong. You can jump in and use your words.
I like watching you struggle. The Offering.
Thank you. I don't know why I'm confusing those two in my head today. Yeah, it has a lot of that Offering vibe. And then, like, a more industrial core to it with a little bit of, like, mechanical and synth vibes kind of underlaying a lot of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's a very dynamic, all-over-the-place album. If you checked out the EP, this is the entirety of the EP plus four new songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it all weaves together really well. There's nothing that's, like, super jarring between what they put out originally and what came out on this. It's kind of just a further expansion of that. And we both really, really enjoyed that EP and have listened to it a fair amount and been waiting for this to come out and tracking it. And it, I should say, it's not out yet. It comes out July 24th on M-Theory Audio. But it's solid. You know, we've been looking forward to it for a long time, and it adds, you know, basically another EP's worth of good tracks that fit right in along with what they're doing. They've got some fun guest appearances. The song we're going to play for you features some guitar work from John Denias of Shadows Fall and currently of Anthrax fame. It's really solid and weaves together all those sounds in a pretty unique and interesting package.
Yeah, I mean, the base of it, this album rips. I mean, the guitar work is just...
That would have been the simple way of saying that.
No, but I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. But, like, it, you know, you mentioned some of the melodies, especially in the soloing, reminding you of older Arch Enemy. And mm-hmm. I mentioned some of the pacing and the industrial undertones remind me of Nemec. But you really have a lot of the Offering and Into Eternity of it with the writing style and it being... diverse without being scatterbrained. Like when you talked about that last Offering album, we were like, what the fuck is happening? You don't feel that way listening to Let Us Pray, but what you get is something I don't.
I was gonna let you finish your sentence before jumping in there. Sorry, my face betrayed you. I agree, because like we loved that Offering EP, but when it expanded to a full album, it felt like they had a couple like blatant rips of Slipknot riffs.
Yeah.
And you know, like it didn't scale up as well.
Right.
And this where we got an EP first and then built upon it, it works.
Yeah.
You know, there's more that has like a good through line here than what you got from the Offering. Sorry to jump
in. No, it's true. I mean it's and then Into Eternity, that last thing was an abomination. But you get, without completely sounding like them, that same type of blend of progressive and a little bit of melodic death metal and thrash metal. And the diversity in the vocal delivery is insane. From like deep growls to soaring highs that you'd get from Into Eternity and Iced Earth and same vocalist. I'm blanking on his name.
The
blend of everything we've heard before, everything I've mentioned into just a very streamlined package where you get some really great aggression, amazing riffs, and earwormy songs to steal Nick's line. Like, I mean, these songs are above all that catchy and memorable, uh-huh. And it feels fresh. There might be other bands doing this. We come across them very rarely, and I feel like when we do, they kind of get clusterfucky, where Let Us Pray has figured it out. Good for them that they've found their way to M Theory Audio, and there'll hopefully be bigger and better things even to come.
Yeah, I'll add on to that, that for a almost hour-long album, there is no filler on this.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is, as you said, it's very tight and to the point. Like, there's never a spot that I'm feeling like, okay, this is lagging, or, hey, this song could have just been skipped by, or, you know, like, it all feels necessary for what they're doing, you know, and that's rare when you get an album that's pushing an hour, that we're not like, well, okay, this could have been a little bit tighter. This works really, really well.
And that includes the last song in Hell Followed With Me, which is 2.5 minutes longer than the next longest song on the album, but it builds, and there's some little bit slower chuggy parts in there, and this use of fake organ, I'm assuming fake organ sound, but like it becomes this big epic closer, but without look at what we're doing, a big epic closer, like it just seamlessly flows in that way. I mean, this is, I don't know what number I'm giving it. What are you giving it?
I've been on a 4 all week, but I'm kind of flipping between that and a 5.
Yeah, me too.
Well, shit. All right, one of us gives one gives the other. Which do you want? You want to be a 4 or a 5?
I'll give it the 5. Fuck it.
All right, cool. Brian's a 5. I'm a 4. It's 4.5. We'll probably be talking about this one at the year, and most likely. Cool. All right. We are going to play the song Halo Crown for you at the end of the show, as I mentioned before. One last plea to go donate to your favorite charity, or if you feel like playing along with us, donated through us. You can find a link at the top of the sideshowpodcast.com. Anything you donate will be forwarded through to the Crew Nation. You can dictate what we review. You can join us for it. You can pick an album that we missed from this year or make us revisit something from before. I'm going to just dictate what Brian's going to do right now and say that all those notes will be put in the post for this week's episode, because he's usually pretty good about that. So that'll definitely be there if you need more information on it. That is going to cover it. Other than that, you can support the show, which we are going to, as we said, give any proceeds that we make for the next few months. You can support us by buying merch or going to the site and then clicking through to any Amazon shopping that you might be doing anyways, which throws us a couple bucks, which in turn throws Crew Nation a couple bucks.
Yep.
That's going to do it. Next week is 420.
Yep.
I probably don't need to say what we're obviously going to be doing for that. I'd say it's a surprise, but like...
It's not. It's not.
I mean, it's 420. It'll officially be... This will officially be the first time we've ever actually planned something for a monumental number episode. You know, we've had 66, we've had 100, we've had 150, we've had all the other ones between here and there where we've never really done anything. But for some reason, two non-stoner dudes are doing a stoner episode for 420.
And it was your idea.
Yep. I don't know. Whatever. It seemed fun. So we're going to do that, which means there are a couple other big releases that have just come out that are now going to be pushed back a little bit further because we just don't have the time to do all of that. But next week we'll be back with a whole bunch of stoner metal. That'll be fun and interesting. I can't think of the last time we've done something like that. You know, we've done like an all black metal episode a couple times or an all whatever themed thing. I don't know that we've ever done an all stoner metal based episode before.
Not intentionally. I don't even think unintentionally. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. We say we like to try to do themed ones every now and then. So this will be an interesting experiment. But you'll have to come back and join us for 420. We're going to leave you this week with Halo Crown from Let Us Pray off their forthcoming album, Virtues of the Vicious. Check it out. We'll see you in a couple weeks.